is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday the 16th of October. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my absolutely fabulous co-host.
I like that. That's nice.
Is that better? Is that better?
Have you been practising that?
No, I just thought of it.
I like that. Do you? It's me.
It's her. It's Miss On a Bike.
How are you?
How you doing, bud?
I'm really well.
Good.
Yep, body's back to normal.
Your body's back to normal,
it is
it?
Yeah, thank
right,
you very
what,
much.
What were you doing with it? Oh, you were doing your Iron Man stuff and everything,
But yeah, it's all back to normal.
Well, yeah, see, I've started a triathlon.
In what?
Sauna, steam room, jacuzzi. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Here, I'm not going to be funny. I think I should take a leaf out of your book, because I do think I do need to put a bit of rest in.
You need
it.
To calm down, dear.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's what you do. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
I know.
So you're going to join me in my triathlon, are you?
I'll have a go. It'll be a lot of funny, won't it? Can you imagine it in business?
I've got all the lycra and everything.
Oh, my days. You could wear my bird and a bike skin
suit.
I could,
yeah. Yeah, I've got lycra speedos and everything. Yeah,
it's lovely. How are you, anyway?
I'm all right. Mark didn't fancy that. You came talk, Mark. I don't mind. Look at that. No. No, okay.
What do you know this... Right, let's get into it.
Yeah.
You have been on a rant, haven't you?
I have been on I've had two rants, actually.
Do you need a cuddle? What's going on, love?
Well, I'm not going to go over it all over again, because I'll bore everybody to death.
No, it's funny. Go on.
But Vodafone really annoyed me last week, and HMRC really annoyed me so far this week.
And other people.
And BT just annoy me permanently.
And other people.
And other people. But it's all the same issue.
Which is?
And it's one of my actual big things, and maybe we'll talk about this later. It's one of my big things. I'm a great believer in localism, and I'm a great believer in bottom-up ways of doing things. And my issue is that most organisations that fail us are too big and therefore become impersonal. And I'll give you a classic example of this. It's Universal Credit.
Yeah? Okay.
It was devised by a bunch of blokes sat in an office that said, how can we make this better? Yeah, I genuinely believe that. I genuinely believe they sat there and said, how can we make this better? But because they never talked to anybody at the other end of it, because they're completely detached from the front line, yeah, they're a bunch of suits in Whitehall, they came up with a system that didn't work. But once they've come up with a system, they then become psychologically engaged with it and then spend all of their time trying to make it work. But the people on the front line and the people that are getting the problems are the ones that are getting angry and upset and falling out. But it never reaches them. Yeah, it's all dissipated by the time it's got to them.
I'm going to challenge you a little bit. I believe it should be both. I think it should be bottom up, top down as well. I just wrote a report last week for a company. And I said to him, look, this is the biggest thing. You need to go back to bottom up, top down. It needs to come that togetherness, and there isn't.
Well, I don't know. I probably have to make up the numbers, because it's a long time since I did this. But years ago, when I used to do seminars and stuff, I used to talk about iceberg management, which is basically that your senior executives know about 4% of what's actually going on. Yeah. And the operational executives know about 9% of what's going on. And the supervisors and middle managers know about 17% of what's going on. And frontline staff know about 92% of what's going on, but they never talk to each other.
Okay, so how could we support that? How could we get bottom up to talk?
Basically, it's the way that you structure things. It's why the NHS doesn't work. It's why government doesn't work. It's why BT doesn't work. It's why big organisations, especially utility companies, why they don't work. They try to manage everything in one place for one thing in one big amorphous blob. My partner Amanda was saying to me the other day, when we were talking about Vodafone giving us problems, why don't they have account managers? Why don't they have people that deal with everybody whose name begins with A? Yeah, so that they have a more personal approach to who they're dealing with. And it's that kind of thing. Is if you're going to have a big organisation, you need to do it like that.
Well, it's because they're financial-centric as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what they are there. Well, they're trying to be cost-effective.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, they make so many mistakes that it doesn't become cost-effective anymore. Mm. You know, like... I was dealing with a telecoms company the other day, and it's all, you know, they don't know where I am, they don't know who I am, they don't know where I live, it's just some office somewhere in Bolton or somewhere. And they dispatched an engineer. He arrived at my place and he went, oh, I can't do this, my ladder's not long enough. You know, It's just stupid. And it's not cost effective. They think it is, but it's not. Back a long time ago, back in the 1980s, when I worked as a management consultant, one of the examples I used was a chap called Percy Barnevik. And Percy Barnevik was a Swedish guy that was head of a company called Azea Brown Boveri. They are a massive engineering company. They build all kinds of stuff. They build trains. They build petrochemical plants. They build huge things. And Percy Barnevik, back in the 1980s, was a big fan of saying, I don't like things run top down. And what he did with Azea Brown Boveri, once a unit, a factory or anything, got over more than 150, 200 people, he hived it off into a separate business, all owned by the same business, but running autonomously because they were then closer to the customer. So that's my views on it.
I love it.
Have that.
I love it.
Have
I love
that.
It.
Have that. Yeah.
Good.
And I think that's the problem with, if you think about it, you know, if you ring a utility company to talk about your electric bill, or you ring a telecoms company to talk about your phone, or you ring a government department, it's all so impersonal.
Yeah.
You know, and they try to put you through these, do you want to, you get an IVR box that has five questions, and they never ask the question that
you... Well, Steve, you were saying this to us, weren't you, that we don't have those signs, do we, anywhere else other than... at places where they're going to create stress before they've even got hold of the customer first.
No, it's true. I mean, it's a clue, really, isn't it? When you do go to places where customer service is bad, they are the places with the sign that says, no abuse of our staff will be tolerated. Yeah. Think, well, why do you have to put a sign like that up?
Yeah,
really?
Exactly, yeah.
It's really, the customer is...
create the environment for us, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So you don't see those sort of signs in the supermarkets or where there's good customer service, only where there's bad.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. They're kind of preempting it, aren't they? Yeah. Come on, try it if you think you're hard enough.
Themselves, aren't they? They're just saying, they're putting it onto you as it being your fault, which is...
Absolutely. Anyway.
Well, what a way to start a business show, isn't it?
We're off on a rant again.
I love it.
Yeah. Rather than listen to me ranting, we'd like to hear from you, the businesses out there in the southeast of England. You can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me on 01233 220035.
Please call him today, please.
No, well, somebody called last week and I missed it because I didn't see the phone flashing.
Well, can we not put a bring on it or something?
No,
what's
we took that
on?
Off because if it rings, it goes right, it reverberates through the mics. And
when I was in A&E, we used to have we used to call the phones that go off, and you see it, don't you, on all that on the shows now, like, oh my god, the phone's going off, and we used to call it the Batmobile, you know. That's what we need a big red one up on the wall so we can see it.
Well, we used to have one in the old studio, a bigger red light, but I haven't, it's just a little one there. Anyway, you can call me on Ashford 01233 220035. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air and actually get some attention is if you tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BeBunker.
Please use it because we lose so many tweets.
Yeah,
we do.
If you don't get read out, it's because you didn't follow my instructions.
Yeah.
There you go.
Be told.
Yeah, yeah.
He's on a rant today.
No. Press one if you want to,
if you want to talk to us.
Yeah.
Press two.
Exactly. Cool. What you got then, bud?
What about?
Tweet, email.
Well, really nice thing. Do you know what? And this is really funny when this happens. Yeah, you've just caught me off guard now. And I was just looking at the tweets coming in. I'm like, oh, that's FSB's got somebody in. Who have they got in? And they've got me. I forgot. You know when you go, oh, yeah, I'm doing a talk for them. So this
Where are you doing a talk?
I've got no... Look, I'm like you. It's so bad, isn't it? They said to me, Brad, can you send me through your title, your talk? I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. When is it? It's like 3 weeks away. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've been with you far too long. Right, you're going to have to carry on because I can't even find the thing now.
Okay, well, I got a tweet from Aluxi Consulting, the lovely Linda Garcia. Get well soon, Linda. She's woken up with flu this morning.
Oh, nice.
Oh, sorry to hear that. She said, can we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please? The Aluxi Leadership and Management Development Programme starts in January 2019 for business owners needing to delegate to rise above the detail and need management systems to keep their fingers on the pulse. Well, that's funny, isn't it? We were just talking about that. If you want to find out more, you can email Linda at Aluxi Luxi.co.uk. Let me spell Aluxi for you. It's A-L-L-U-X-I.
You're so professional
today. I'm nailing it today, aren't I?
Get up. Here we are. So it's FSB South East. Build long-term business relationships with other professional hashtag women in business. And on the 13th of November, apparently, I'm the guest speaker, which is me, Burton and Bike, and I'm speaking at Dartford.
Are you?
Apparently.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Are you the only speaker?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
I know. It's brilliant, isn't it? So Sue Hainsby's taken over that now, which is great. I love Sue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Colleen.
Yeah.
She's a great businesswoman. So yeah, so I'm going to be speaking there and I had to make up a title, which is Show, Don't Tell. You're impressed, aren't you?
I'm not saying a word.
That's all you need to hear. It's all about role modelling.
Sounds like a flashes chart with that.
Look, it's all about role modelling, especially we know that a lot of women now don't go into business because there's not many business women to see that it's doable with children, with
Are you talking about role models, that's effectively?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Did I say role models?
No, you did. But I kind of was just making sure that I heard you say
role
it rather than
models.
Just... No, I'm sure you did say it.
I thought you were taking the mic out.
No, not at all.
It is. They know that women don't go into business because there's not enough people to see that it's doable. As a mum, as a woman who's trying to fulfil all needs.
Yeah,
so
no,
that's
absolutely.
Why this is really relevant.
We're living interesting times because things are... I was having a discussion on social media the other night with a load of people started again about one of my other favourite topics, which is we must save the high street. And I just come back and say, yeah, do you know what? We need to save the horse and cart business and anvils and blacksmiths and coopers. Yeah, we need to save all of those because they've got no business anymore. The high street isn't dying. It's evolving. And like everything else, it's changing and evolving. And the task isn't to try and stop it being what it was. The task is to move it on to what it needs to be.
And here's the honesty. Mm. It is really sad that businesses will go out of business.
Yeah.
But that is the nature of the beast.
It is.
It wins.
Mm.
That's it.
Yeah.
And so unless you evolve and adapt and grow with it, you will lose.
I was reading Forbes magazine, the American business magazine, last week, and they had a headline article, and it said, and this was its headline, 63% of the Standard & Poor's 500, top 500 companies in the United States, will not exist by 2040.
Hmm.
And that is historically true too.
Of course it is.
If you look at the FTSE index, the top 100 companies in the UK, the year I was born, 63 years ago, 60 of the top 100 companies that were on the list then are no longer in existence.
And neither should they be.
No. And that doesn't mean they all went bust. They got taken over, they got bought out, they changed, they evolved, they became something different.
We get all romantic about business and it's brutal.
Yeah.
And there's no point in mucking this around.
Well, one of the things that always makes me laugh are professional firms. We'll talk about this with Mark later on. It's professional firms that go, we were founded 342 years ago. And they go, da-da-da-da-da. And you go, great. Well, I hope you've updated since then. You know, otherwise I'm going to come in and sign everything with a quill.
So why? Okay, so let's just quickly go into it. Why do businesses last?
Because they adapt.
And that's the only reason.
Yes, yeah, it's evolution. Yeah. It is evolution. Survival of the fittest by random mutation and dirty, dirty, dirty. You adapt and survive and change and grow.
Yeah.
And all businesses have to do that. It's just that the pace of it has quickened over the last few years. It's much, much quicker that you have to do it. Once upon a time, you could almost last a generation before the change happened. Yeah, so people could come in, do a career for 50 years, leave, and then a new generation would come in and slightly change the business. Now, there's no way that you're going to do that. You're going to change your business two or three times over the course of a decade and a half or so in terms of adapting to what's going on out there.
And
that's all businesses. You know, at the moment, business, you know, they're talking about an Amazon tax, which is ridiculous. And they talk about Facebook and Google and people like that. None of those companies will survive in the long term.
No, they won't.
Facebook's already looking well dodgy,
I don't know.
You know, they will be surpassed by someone. Someone's going to come along with something that will take them out. And people never believe this, but it happens so often. And I can point you at the original social media sites. There were three or four of the first phalanx of social media sites, which were Friends Reunited,
yes,
MySpace, Bebo, and things like that. None of them, MySpace is kind of struggling on still, but it reinvented itself completely as a music social media channel.
What was the other one to YouTube? There was one that was YouTube that was before YouTube,
yeah.
That literally they near enough copied, you know,
yeah.
And then, so there, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, it is. And they'll all go eventually, yeah. Because or adapt and change. Yeah. It's the only way. Cool. Do you know what? We're going to play some tunage.
Let's do it.
And while we're playing some tunage, I'm going to get our first guest on the phone.
All right.
Yeah, let's do that.
MyCareers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options Unique Careers Report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent business community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Okay, welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. Hopefully on the line now, we've got Kenda McDonald. Hello, Kenda. Hello. Oh, I've lost her. That was my fault, I think. I cut her off.
Did you cut her off?
Yeah.
You ring her back. Shall I just
back.
No, you ring her back.
Yeah, I'll ring her.
We got Join Jewels & Co. at the Wine Bar at Herne Bay, and that's hosted by Bill Fox, and this is at www.which is, I'll have to say it because I'm on my own now for a little bit, World Wide Web, kentba.co.uk. Now, this is for Slope Off Friday, and this is Friday the 2nd of November. I still can't believe I'm saying November. It's crazy. Is it just me, or is this weather putting you off? I love it, but my body's a bit confused.
It's freaky, isn't it?
It is, right?
It's not October.
I know.
It just can't be.
I know. So when you could read out...
T-shirts.
2nd of November, it's like, I can't believe that I'm going into this point.
A bit chilly in here, though.
It is, unfortunately, Steve. I'm ever so sorry. So this is Slope Off Friday, Friday the 2nd of November. Non-FSB members are welcome. And then you need to contact... So go onto Twitter and contact Jules Sirkin. That's at Jules Sirkin. Or go on to... Jules, let's give you a number. Get ready to read this. I love reading that number. 0776 101 5300. That's Jules Sirkin's. Go check her out. You've then got... The new Romney Resource Centre has a vacancy. Now, we read this out a week ago, and I love this, for the Head of Strategy and Development. So this is Romney Resource Centre. It's a leading charitable community organisation based in the heart of Romney Marsh in Kent. And they have a reputation for delivering high-quality training and experience. So the approved candidate will report directly to the board. Here's what you need to sort of have a look at, is they... Develop and grow access and collaboration with senior influencers. They grow engagement with current and new partners. They achieve the RRC strategic objectives. So it goes on and on. To register your interest and receive an information pack, you need to go onto romney-resource.co.uk and go onto the vacancies. Or you can email Terry Botty at 744@gmail.com. Go check them out.
Thank you for that. Hopefully we've got Kenda on the phone now. Hello, Kenda.
Hello.
Oh, sorry about that. It was entirely my fault. I cut you off and then I couldn't get back to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's a pleasure to hear from you. It's Kenda McDonald from Automation Ninjas.
Yeah, that's it. That's us.
Fantastic. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Automation Ninjas and what you do?
Well, effectively, we're a marketing automation company, but we've got a little bit of a twist in there because we're marketing automation and biopsychology, which generally tends to kind of pique people's curiosity. Mm. But basically, my background is in forensic psychology, and when I was paying my way through my degree, because they're very expensive, I started working for a marketing automation company, and it's very interesting when you're kind of really in-depth in one field and you look at another field, you start to see these kind of like parallels between the two.
Mm.
And I realized that marketing automation and marketing in general doesn't really take behavior into consideration. So, you know, businesses just want to get their product out there. They want to sell stuff. and we don't actually think about what the consumer's up to and how the consumer makes decisions, how they think about things, and so our marketing tends to fall flat a little bit and fall on deaf ears most of the time. And so after finishing up what I was doing, I started my own company, and I was pretty determined to bring the two fields together and kind of create marketing automation that actually takes humans into consideration.
Wow. That sounds like a fascinating set of topics. And I don't know where to start in terms of asking you questions for that, to be honest. It's brilliant. I mean, how long have you been going now?
The business has been going for about 4 years now.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Pretty established, which is nice.
Okay, so can you talk us through some of the more obvious things that you, if there are obvious things, obviously, that you look at in terms of biopsychology? We were talking off air and a little bit at the start of the show about some of my experiences last week in dealing with organisations that were making me annoyed. I was just saying that by the time I actually get through to a human, they've actually wound me up so much with their silly systems that I'm angry, even when I wasn't angry to start with.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think a good starting point is before we even get into the biopsychology to look at marketing automation. And I think to come back to your point where you were talking about the high street earlier, we need to redefine what we mean by marketing.
Yeah.
And people always kind of, you know, some of the businesses that are a little bit more behind the times and trying to catch up always ask me, what is marketing automation? And I think the problem is that people haven't redefined marketing in the last few years.
Yep.
And the internet has fundamentally changed the way that we do things.
Sure.
You know, we don't want to hang around in silly systems anymore in order to get to a human. We know it can be more efficient than that, so we do get angry.
Mm.
And we haven't evolved and changed the way that we think about these things. That's why the high street is dying.
Absolutely.
That is why we're having difficulties as businesses getting our messaging across, because consumers don't want to hear it. They don't want to be interrupted with our marketing. So we actually need to change the definition of marketing automation. And so when I describe this to people, I like to separate the two things out. So what is marketing, and what is our current definition of marketing, and then what is that definition of automation?
Mm.
And if you'll indulge me for a second.
Sure.
I think marketing needs to fundamentally change in the way that we think about it. So we've had this kind of, and by we I mean business owners.
Mm.
Business owners have had this approach of looking at marketing in terms of, marketing is a way for me to get in front of my target audience, and it's a way for me to sell my products. Right? That's kind of what we've traditionally thought about as marketing.
Yep.
But if we think about the consumer now and what the consumer wants and how empowered the consumer is by the internet, for them, it's not about selling products. It's about the experience. There's a great little piece of research by a company called Walker Research, and it's a really good quote. And they say that by 2020, experience is going to be the number one deciding factor for choosing a business or a brand, and that's going to be over price and the quality of the product.
Yep, absolutely.
And that, and don't you really feel like that's already happening?
Yeah,
you
absolutely. Know? Yeah,
I completely feel like that's already happened. And 2020 is not that far away, but I feel like that's already happening online.
Yeah.
And so when we look at it from experience, and when we're looking at it from the consumer's perspective, they don't give a damn about all of the different kind of silos that you have in your business. They don't care about the fact that you might have a marketing team that does your adverts. You might have a sales team that does sales. You might have a fulfillment team that, you know, makes all the things happen in the background. They don't care about any of that. They want a good customer experience.
Yep.
So when they phone in, they don't want to go through all your little, you know, message systems. They just want a quality experience. And when we think about that, then we need to realize that marketing is no longer about those ads in the front.
Mm.
It's no longer about, you know, just getting the lead in through the door and then letting sales deal with it. Marketing changes fundamentally and becomes everything that you do to get and keep a customer.
Absolutely.
So that changes your approach, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And I personally, as a customer, I would happily pay more for a product or service if I got a decent experience in doing it.
And isn't that an amazing thing? Because if you think about what experience is, it's a non-quantifiable thing.
Mm.
It's a quality.
Yep.
We'll pay more for a thing that we can't tangibly hold on to than the thing that we can.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
But it's really weird, but I think it's also kind of obvious. And So when you're looking at it like that, that kind of becomes marketing. Everything you do to get and keep a customer. Mm. And when you think about everything that is involved in doing that,
yep.
there is so much repetition in there that it becomes wasteful, impractical, and quite frankly impossible to manage it all manually. Things fall down the cracks. It becomes a complete nightmare. And so automation is just what helps you leverage that.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important that people don't think of automation as this kind of autonomous, you know, non-personalized thing,
yep.
where in fact automation should help you be more personalized, because we can track so much now. We know what the consumer wants. Mm. We know what they're looking at online. So you're so much more informed when you pick up that phone and speak to them.
Absolutely.
That journey becomes that much more personalized because you're leveraging marketing automation.
Absolutely. And for me, and I don't know how you feel about this, Kenda, for me at the moment, though, too many organizations use automation as a weapon to to stop customers and and I don't object to the automation. I object to their deployment of the automation in the wrong way. Yeah,
that's exactly it. I think the biggest mistake that businesses are making is that they're trying to go, okay, marketing automation, and I don't necessarily think that this is businesses' fault to a certain extent as well. I think it's the consultants. The
yep.
consultancy industry has ruined this for everybody in a way.
Yep. Yep.
Because everyone's so much focused on, yeah, you put marketing automation in, you can get your ROI up by blah, 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 and you can do this, and you can do that. And so people are really driven by that. And, you know, certainly companies are driven by the KPIs behind things, and so they're driven by, you know, getting more leads in, getting more of this in. And they see marketing automation as a tool, as a weapon to be used to get their message in front of more people. But effectively, you're doing the exact thing that consumers don't want, and you're interrupting them. Whereas taking a step back, being a lot nicer to your consumers, understanding what they actually want,
yep.
that's where the psychology comes in, understanding what they want and how they want to interact with you, and providing that actually enables you to get that better quality experience for the consumer, and that's only going to get you positive returns.
Absolutely. Kenda, it's a fascinating thing that you're talking about, and luckily for us here in Kent, we're going to hear much more of it in a couple of days' time, because you're one of the main speakers at the Digital in Kent conference at the Quarterdeck in Folkestone on Thursday. I'm actually chairing the event, so I'm looking forward to meeting you and to hearing more from you, and obviously people can come along and hear from you. So thank you so much for joining us on the show.
We
look forward to hearing more from you and your talk at Digital in Kent on Thursday, and wish you a successful day.
Thank you very much, and have a great show.
Thank you very much. Bye. Talk to you soon.
Bye now.
Kenda McDonald there, Automation Ninjas.
Interesting.
Love it. Love it. This show is just so well put together, isn't
it?
It all falls seamlessly into place.
I want to go on a little bit for what Kenda was saying.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I do. Do you know what I want? And I know it's what people want. They want you to save them time.
Yeah.
You're wasting my time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
By giving me. And I don't agree with you either. Yeah. I don't agree with you.
Watch it.
Yeah, my finger was out then.
Yeah, yeah, pointing and everything.
All right, I don't agree necessarily that the intention of a company is to not, you know, is to get rid of you. I don't believe that. I believe that it's for them to not employ so many people, so it is back to their ROI, so it isn't, oh, we can make it more seen, we can make this. It's not about the customer. It's about the company.
See, I'll give you an
organisation.
I'll give you an example that kind of that takes that away. I got my insurance renewal for my house and contents through from I won't name the company that's an insurance company that only deals with people over 50. I won't name them, okay?
None of us can do that yet. We're not over 50. Oh, come on. I was backing you up then, everybody. Go on, Paul.
Anyway, they sent me through a renewal, which was £200 more than I paid last year.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to ring them. I'm going to go through all this rigmarole, and then they're going to go, oh, we'll see if we can get it cheaper for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are they making me do that?
Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah. So I go and find somebody else, and I take my insurance somewhere else.
Yep.
And then I ring them and go, right, cancel my insurance. And they go, oh, I'm sure we can get it down. I went, well, you should have done that in the first place. Yeah. You've lost your chance. Yeah. Off you go. Toggle away. I'm not spending my money.
Yeah.
So it's not working for them. If that is their intention of trying to save themselves money and provide a service, it ain't working.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's the bottom line of it.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm a great believer in personal service, and if we have to, paying a little bit more. Now, I know a lot of people can't afford to pay more. They need to watch the pennies and pay the minimum amount for anything. And I fully get that. That doesn't stop you providing a reasonable level of service.
But they also can't afford to spend an hour or 2 hours ringing round. And actually, if you ask them, they probably would prefer to pay more to spend less time doing what they've just done.
Yeah, exactly.
Or they probably wouldn't have even looked, Paul. Mm. They probably would have paid that 200 quid, so they've paid more, not got a great service.
Oh, auto renewals, don't even get me started on that. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
So I love that from Kendra, because she's so right.
She is, and I'm really, really looking forward to hearing her talk on Thursday at the Digital in Kent conference. It's at the Quarterhouse in Folkestone. Do come along.
All right, I will.
Yeah, yeah, and I do.
Were you asking me then, or just in general?
No, I'm asking the listener.
Ah.
If he or she would like to come along.
Excellent.
It's going to be good, and there's a whole range of other speakers too, but I'm really...
Are we there?
I'm there. I'm chairing the event.
No, I know you are. Are we there as Channel Radio or Business Bunk or anything?
Not particularly, because I'm actually chairing the event rather than interviewing people. But
I could have interviewed.
Yeah, yeah. No, you come along. Bring your stick.
All right, I will.
Yeah. But
roaming reporting.
Exactly. So we're looking forward to that.
Good.
Do you know what I want to do now? I want to talk to our next guest.
Who is it?
Our next guest is Mark. Yeah, and it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunk Show. For the first time? Have you been on before?
That's right, Paul. First time.
First time. I couldn't remember if you've been on before. Mark Telford of Telford Accountants. Mark, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming along. It's a pleasure to see you. I don't know why I thought you'd been on before. I know Mark really well. He's not least of which he's my accountant, so it's not a surprise.
Is this
I know.
Mark?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good enough reason, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've said to me about going to see Mark.
I have indeed. I recommend him all the time.
This is the Mark.
Yeah, I recommend him all the time.
Cool.
Anyway, enough of bigging him up. Yeah. Anyway, about Mark. No. Mark, welcome along. Tell us a little bit about your business to start with. Mm-hmm. How long have you been going? What, you know, have you always worked for yourself? Da, 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 da.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul. Yeah, we've been going as an accountancy practice for nearly 7 years now.
Wow.
So if I give you a little bit of background to the setup, I qualified too many years ago to give you an exact date right now. But it was before the millennium, and it was a typical, probably everybody's idea of a typical old-fashioned dour accountancy practice.
Right.
It was a pretty grim existence, and I didn't enjoy it at all. So.
Right, okay. So, was that locally in Kent, or...?
No, this was in London. So
London, okay. Even worse then.
and it was really the first opportunity I got. I left practice and went to work in the real world, in industry and commerce.
Okay, cool.
Had a great time there, enjoyed it a lot, and then it was around about 2009 I started working for myself again in a sort of consultancy capacity for small businesses. And I was increasingly finding a lot of small businesses were getting a really poor level of service from their accountant.
Mm.
And it was one of those light bulb moments one day. I thought, I'm gonna do something I swore I'd never do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back into practice. Mm. And that's very much what happened. So
right.
Back end of 2011... I made a few calls, got a few clients quite quickly, started growing quite quickly, and thought, this is it.
Okay. It's good. It's cool. But without being funny, it's nice to have come at it from that point of view where you've left the industry, per se, experienced it as a client and a customer, and gone, do you know what? I can see that this isn't working. And I think that is a really great way of looking at things. If you can, no matter what business you're in, if you can get out of the thinking of knowing your business, because if you think about it, that's the crucial thing. When you look at innovations, almost, I would say, probably, I'm just guessing here, but 90% of innovative businesses are started by people that actually know nothing about the business that they've started in. They've just gone, I could do that better than them.
It's the power of fresh eyes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
I was only talking about this last night. I've got a couple of teachers that come and I teach them movement. Mm. And I said to them, it's imperative that as a teacher, you are the pupil.
Mm.
And they were like, oh my gosh, well, I've just been doing a talk to other teachers who literally wouldn't listen to us, went into resistance. I said, you must always be the client. Be the business, be the client, be the business, or teacher, pupil, teacher, always, because you cannot adapt and grow.
Mm, absolutely.
Coming back to the original conversation.
Mm. Mm. So, Mark, you've been in practice now. You set up an accountancy firm. you're based in Canterbury. From a client point of view, do you specialise in any particular clients, any particular geographic area, or is it kind of across the board?
Yes. So if we look at our client base, we're probably equally split between Kent. So if you think in terms of the sort of triangle, Ashford, Folkestone, Canterbury, that sort of area, 50% of clients there and around about 50% in London as well.
Okay.
So really strong emphasis on the southeast, but because we almost entirely use cloud technology, we can literally work with clients anywhere.
Mm. Well, let's talk about that a bit, because you were an early adopter of Xero accounting systems, and you also make me use this funny app on my phone where I have to photograph my expenses.
That's right, so I can see what you've been doing.
Yeah, and he goes, do you really need to spend that, Paul? You just, anyway, explain the technology in basic terms that you're using around your accountancy practice and how that benefits us as clients.
Yeah, okay. So the traditional approach was the once-a-year type approach. You collect all your books and records together, take them to your accountant.
In a shoebox.
Quite often in a shoebox. Yep. And then 6 months later, probably a few weeks before the deadline, they tell you how much tax you have to pay.
Yep.
Now, that wasn't the approach I wanted to take. I wanted to have an approach where we could have constant communication with the client through the year, offer constant support and advice. Mm. And it was really through finding Xero back in 2010, so we really were one of the first adopters, that I thought this is the sort of platform that we can use that is really going to allow us to provide a far more detailed level of service to clients.
Just on that, what you said, it really strikes a chord, because back in the day, by the time your accountant had got everything and I started to look at things, you were way past doing something about things that weren't working or weren't right or weren't happening.
Right.
Yeah? You know, so you're kind of 9 months past the point where you should have done something about it. Yeah?
Yeah.
And therefore, the way that you've approached what you do, it's interactive almost, where, you know, I can do something, you ring me up and go, don't do that, Paul.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even add on to that what Kendra was saying about technology. Mm. So much of the software that we use now is so intelligent, it prompts you. Mm. It gives you alerts when things don't quite look right.
Yep.
And, you know, there's nothing better from a client's point of view if their accountant rings them up and says, look, I think you've done such and such wrong, or this doesn't look right, or this is late. Mm. And then, you know, they're being told at the right time rather than, you know, when perhaps year end's passed, it's too late to change anything.
Absolutely. So that's, you're using cloud-based accounting around the Xero package. I also have an app on my phone. Why don't we talk about that? Because that's a giggle.
Okay. Yeah, so the app you're talking about is Auto Entry.
That's the one.
Which, it really saves everybody a lot of time. So if you think of the traditional view of perhaps a tradesman, he stores all his invoices and receipts on the dashboard of his van.
Yeah.
And then hopefully when he comes to go to see his accountant...
Under the used milkshake cup.
I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully he can find them all.
In cement and everything.
Yeah, before he takes them all across to see his accountant. Now, the use of Auto Entry or other similar apps such as HubDoc and Receipt Bank are you can take a photograph of that receipt and it's automatically uploaded, you know, into the cloud. The information is there. And then you can literally just throw that receipt away. Mm. You don't need it anymore. Because even HMRC have said an electronic PDF format of a document is sufficient evidence. So you don't need to have any paper-based records anymore.
And there's other ones like Mile IQ as well. I use this for my mileage with everything.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's just brilliant.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about anything, because it'll go, well, you haven't claimed today. It's so worth it.
That's right. That's
it
right.
makes my life so much easier.
Yeah, another good one for mileage as well is called Trip Catcher.
Mm.
And it literally just, you know, from your phone, it's picking up the mileage you do.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right. Okay.
I know, see?
See, I haven't used that. I do a lot of mileage. I haven't used any of this.
Oh,
so I've learnt something else.
Yeah, there you go.
Really need an accountant, really?
No, absolutely. No, just a computer. That's all we need. But it is interesting, isn't it? Because it shows you a lot of the things we were talking about reinventing yourself.
It's time, saving time.
But you know, more enlightened accountants such as Mark and similar have adapted to the use of technology and put it into their practice and changed the way that their practice works. There are still far too many people in professional services that are hanging on like grim death to the past. And it's them that will go out of business. And they tend to be the ones that go, we were founded in 1743, you know. And you go, yeah, and you're still behaving like it as well.
Still got a fax machine, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fax that to me. What? I want to talk to you briefly about what's happening in the world of accountancy and stuff like that. And I want to just throw out a few comments and things. As you know, I operate as an angel investor from time to time, and I invest in startup businesses. Some of the things that drive me nuts with early stage startups is that they don't think through the basics of what they're trying to do in the first place. So shareholders agreement, articles of association. And I came across one recently that was even worse, which is the company formation itself. Okay. And I just want to talk about
some. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. Whether you're a limited company by guarantee, a CIC, or what's the new one that they just invented that's a smaller CIC, community interest company, a CIA, a community interest association or something.
Yeah, it's for very small clubs.
For very small clubs, isn't it? And there's lots of different structures. I was asked to invest in a business a little while ago, and I agreed that I would put a small amount of money into it for a consideration of their share option, and they got all excited until we tried to do it to find they didn't actually have any shares because they weren't a limited liability company. They were limited by guarantee, so they had no shareholders, which was a bit weird. So have you got any thoughts or feelings? I mean, one of the big things is, at what point do we need to become a limited company and cease being a sole trader? And I know that's kind of how long's a piece of string, but do you have any general thoughts on that?
Okay, if we look at it from a purely financial perspective, if you're hitting around about £30,000 worth of profit, that's when you need to consider changing.
Right.
But there's so many other facets to it as well in terms of you know, your credibility, again, your limited liability, what you intend to do with it in the future. So I'd really say the best thing is to literally take up an accountant on what most of them offer, which is usually an hour of an hour's free consultation, and just say, look, these are my ideas. This is what I want to do. Should I be sole trader, partnership, limited company? Because there's so many variables.
I tell you, when I first started my very first company, on day one, I made it a limited company. And the reason I did that, I might have been wrong. The reason I did that, though, is I just thought, if you're a sole trader or self-employed, getting a mortgage and stuff like that is a nightmare. If I just go, I'm an employee at this company, they never check your books to see if you got any money.
No, and it's actually really interesting that so many people who go from employment to either self-employment as a sole trader or through a limited company, they really need to understand that if they're going to need a mortgage in the next few years, they need to either do it before they leave employment or until they've been trading for at least 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Because it's so difficult to do it in the early stage.
Absolutely. I want to talk to you now about a really, really brilliantly exciting topic, making tax digital.
Or as it's also called, making tax difficult.
Difficult, yeah, exactly, yeah. So they've put it off a couple of times already.
That's right. It was supposed to be introduced in April 2018.
Yep. And I guess they've put it off because they realise that it's just people aren't ready. What does it mean? Just give us a blue sky overview of what HMRC are trying to do and how it impacts us and who it affects.
Okay. So the bigger picture is HMRC are looking for everybody to make their tax submissions digital. And the starting point is with VAT-registered businesses. So the idea is if you're a VAT-registered business over the VAT threshold, so...
Which is now 85,000. Yep.
So if you voluntarily registered and your turnover is under 85,000, it doesn't necessarily apply to you just yet. So with Making Tax Digital, from April 2019, all VAT returns for VAT-registered businesses over the VAT threshold have to be submitted digitally. That's it in a nutshell. The intention then is in 2020, assuming all goes well in the first year, is that that submission is then extended to limited companies for corporation tax and individuals for income tax.
Yep. Interestingly, there is one benefit that I know of doing it this way, if you happen to export, because HMRC have said, I need to get this right, and you might put me right on this, Mark. HMRC have said, once we leave the European Union, VAT payments, everybody was worried that, you know, to import anything, you pay the VAT then, or to export, you have to pay the VAT then, da-da-da-da. What they've said is, no, you don't have to do that. You can lump it all up and then put it in into your VAT quarterly payments or whatever you're doing, which will make a lot less paperwork than it would have done otherwise.
Yeah, that's the intention.
Yeah. But again, whether they do it or not.
With anything Brexit related, I'd say, yeah, you know, watch this space.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But presumably, if we are doing digital returns, that is a fundamental necessity of being able to do it like that, really. By making those returns digital. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think it will actually come in April 2019, or do you think they'll delay it again?
No, I don't think it will be delayed. Mm. I think it's definitely going to happen. Mm. I anticipate the first 12 months there will be a lot of teething issues.
Yeah,
A lot of small businesses are going to struggle, and I think part of that is because there's denial. They don't think it will happen, and also their accountants don't think it will happen. Mm. So if there's any small businesses out there who have a turnover of more than £85,000, if they haven't heard of MTD or Making Tax Digital, ask their accountant.
Mm. Absolutely. We've seen it already with all the other things that they've piled on small businesses in the last couple of years. You know, auto-enrollment, GDPR, all those kind of things have all had a massive impact on the productivity of small businesses. They've all been... I want to be careful how I put this, but there's loads of people that enter those market spaces offering consultancy services that aren't necessarily totally on the ball with actually what's going on. But, of course, most small businesses are in limbo, aren't they? They go, I've no idea. I don't know what's – I don't know who to talk to. What?
Yeah,
it's an accountant you want to talk to, nobody else, not a consultant, not anybody else. An accountant is who you need. Mm. Anything else, Mark, that's happening that we should know about that you know about in terms of business accounting, thresholds, any prior knowledge of the budget and that kind of thing?
If I had prior knowledge of the budget, I think I'd be a very rich man.
Yeah.
I think the main thing is just going back to what we were talking about at the start with the move towards cloud technology.
Yeah.
Because if there's any businesses out there who've heard of it and have been thinking about it, now really is the time to start to act on those thoughts. Because with Making Tax Digital coming along, and also I think a rise in the number of new accountancy firms, new accountants who have commercial experience. Mm. If you want that extra level of business support, now is the time to look towards the technology and, you know... accountants being able to help you with that.
Absolutely. And there's more technology coming down the pike. Have you heard of Coconut?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, Coconut is a card that's in beta at the moment, just about to be released. It's a credit card. It's a credit card for sole traders and self-employed people, and it's a credit card that does everything for you when you use it, allegedly. Yeah, that you use it, and it does all the things that Mark was just talking about in terms of trapping your expenses, feeding them in, telling you how much tax you're going to have to pay and yada, yada, yada. So it's basically an integrated bookkeeping system. I'm being very loose here. Integrated bookkeeping system based around a credit card.
Yeah, I think it's where there's been the introduction of open banking, which basically means banks have to make the information available to third parties. Mm. You've seen a huge rise in the number of challenger banks and also card providers such as the one I'm holding in my hand, which is a Curve card.
Right.
I've got a single card here that allows me to have five different accounts linked on that card.
Mm.
So I can choose which one I want to use just by having one card.
Yeah, I've got a Caxton card at the moment that allows me to have multiple currencies on it. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's all those sort of things. And I think, you know, Coconut that you've mentioned is really, really useful for those smaller businesses where their records are quite straightforward.
Yep.
And they can probably manage them 90% of the times, 90% of the time, and only need a very small amount of input from their accountant.
Fantastic. Mark, we could talk about this forever. You're going to stay with us for the rest of the show and put some stuff in. But for the moment, if people want to find out about you, what's your website? How do they get hold of you? Can they follow you on social media?
Yeah, they can get in touch with me on Twitter. It's Kent_accountant. Or they can get in touch with us through the website, which is www.telfordsaccountants.com.
Fantastic. Mark, thank you so much for that. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Mark Telford of Telford's Accountants, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
We're almost there at swapping over to the newsroom. I've got a tweet here from Oast House Gifts, and they say, could we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please, Vanilla Web? Until the 1st of January 2019, Oast House Gifts will donate an extra 10% to any charity when a customer places an order for a party or wedding favour box with charity donation fillers. It's a great as an alternative Christmas cracker too, they say. And they've given us some pictures and they look really wonderful. So the best thing to do is go follow them on Twitter and find out some more about it. And their Twitter handle is Oast House Gifts, all one word. So do check that out.
Cool. Ethel Bray have been on. They've said, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, say hello to Steve Hemsley from us. Thoroughly recommend his media training that provides our clients with expertise on getting your media message to the right audience and raises your profile with the relevant contacts. That's Ethel Bray Limited. How much did you pay him?
It's amazing. It's amazing how many people said to me, you've got Steve Hemsley on, I know him.
Really?
Yeah, somebody yesterday said...
They want free training, Steve.
No. Somebody said to me yesterday, I sat next to him at Maidstone United.
Oh, was that Brian?
Yeah, it was Brian Wakefield, yeah.
There you go.
I didn't know you had a season ticket in my box.
Yeah, well, I don't anymore.
I don't have the box anymore either.
I used to, Brian still does have
the box.
Cool. That's so funny,
Anyway, listen, we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Steve, we'll talk to Mark some more, and we're going to do some masterminded and read out all your tweets and emails.
We're on it.
It's going to happen. It's the Business Bunker Show. Here we go.